You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Vernon.
Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Speakable. This is a space for showcasing conversations about all the interesting and important things the faculty and students are doing at FCAT.
What we hope is to have engaged and informed conversations focused on current issues of the day. Thank you for listening.
In today's episode, we'll be having a conversation with Arnie Eigenfeld.
You'll also hear from Philippe Pasquier, professor in the School of Interactive Arts and Technology,
about one of FCAT's new offerings, the Certificate in Sound. I'm your host, Milena Drumeva, and Natalie Dusik is your producer. Thanks for being here.
My name is Arnie Eigenfeld. I'm a professor in the School for the Contemporary Arts in the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology. And I have been a faculty member there for almost 30 years, which is a little scary. But so I've been around for quite a while and seen a lot of changes that have happened in the faculty. And I'm right now I'm actually also in an administrative role as the Associate Dean Academic in FCAT as well.
So this program is a long time coming, I feel. I mean, I've been, I'm a faculty of sound studies in the School of Communication, also in FCAT. And I've worked with Barry Truax, of course, for many years. And so we've always known that there's overlap and kind of cross-pollinations between all of our schools. So the program really has been a long time coming. Well, but what made it possible now, and since Arnie, you're the main architect, at least in the kind of writing and putting together, how do you, why now, what made it possible, and how do you imagine it unfolding?
Yeah, Milena, as you say, it's a long time coming. I remember meetings that we had with Barry Truax and Martin Gottfried years and years ago, because, you know, there's just through all of the programs in, you know, contemporary arts, communication, I mean, communications was the granddaddy in the 70s with the work that was being done there with R. Murray Schafer and then Barry Truax as well. And the School for Contemporary Arts, when it began in the early 1980s as well, and Barry was cross-posted doing his work and just all the sound work, the experimental work that was happening there. And then, of course, when SEIT joined SFU and bringing a different view of sound to the university and sound design more in the use of in media creation and such. So, and then when we were all put together, then we formed the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology, and I believe it was 2008 or 2009. So that just created, you know, ever since then, I think there was a serious discussion on how we can somehow acknowledge the fact that sound is such an integral field of study within the faculty.
SFU has such a great reputation, you know, when it comes to sound, thanks to Barry and Murray Schafer and all these great history. If, you know, if you want to talk to us about SFU in Europe, often you tell people, that's where Barry Truax is. You know, that's how you sell, like, oh, yeah, and people are like, yeah, of course, in Vancouver. Yeah, exactly. So you know, I think the certificate will benefit from that aura, and therefore the students in it, you know, will both continue that legacy and at the same time, you know, gain from it in a way. Because I think that's a very strong team, you know, looking at the certificate that also touches on the images and the relationship between sound and images, which is so crucial now. Yeah, there's cultural critical aspects. There's, of course, enough technical coverage so that students end up with a strong toolbox and, you know, can eventually develop their own practice independently. And I think that's really the idea there.
And I did, unfortunately, I left out publishing as well, because now publishing is also doing podcasting. And so they're also a direct impetus into joining the certificate. So just having this diverse collection of courses, that fields of study, research, of course, we have, you know, a tremendous amount of innovative research occurring in all the different levels of the three schools and the program, the publishing program, but the courses as well. And I think there's been, students have been looking to other schools and taking some of these related courses. But I think now with just the way we're looking at things in the university, and now myself being in an administrative role of associate dean, and being able to look at things at a slightly higher level, you know, rather than just looking at things within a school, but seeing what's possible. And the notion of the certificate seemed to be really something that could reward students for taking these courses outside their school, but also entice them to do that. And I think that was when we started really thinking about a certificate. And what the goal was, as I said, not just to add a new credential to the students who are taking these courses, but also to invite them, because the certificate requires them to take some courses outside their major, so that they would take these courses, explore how sound is considered within these other disciplines, within these other schools. So we talked about it, we created, you know, you were a major component as well of contributing the communications portions and what courses are possible. And it was really well received at the upper level of administration. Everybody was very, very excited about it, because I think once again, the SFU has prided itself on interdisciplinary thinking and teaching and research. And this is just we've been doing it, but now here's just an acknowledgement, certificate that acknowledges what we're doing. It we can show students, we can show faculty, we can just tell everybody the amazing things that are happening in the faculty in terms of sound research.
Excellent. Yeah, this really allows us, and this is what I want to kind of move to chat about. This really allows us now to talk about synergies and kind of scaffolding and how things connect across our different schools. So I wanted to talk a bit about how do we envision the core subjects and skills that students will learn in the program? Do we imagine it as kind of, you'll learn these types of skills from SEAT and these types of skills from contemporary arts and these types of skills from communication, or is it more fluid? Or I'm curious your thoughts on this.
I remember when you were a student in communications, and you took the course that I was teaching, and that was already happening, where we would have students from other schools take these courses. And what I find always to be exciting when you're a faculty, when you're teaching these courses, is bringing in these different perspectives. So as you say, there would be a certain way of thinking that's within the school. So in contemporary arts, you know, they're the artists, they're making the sound, and they're just thinking often about what is the next sound that I could add after this sound to make it interesting, right? Or how can I change this sound? So they have a very specific perspective, and they may not, and then having a student beside them say, well, what about this? Just raising the questions from their perspective, that they've learned it as well. So I think that's a really exciting and valuable point as well, that when we talk about interdisciplinarity, it's bringing those different perspectives together, but at the same time, you're also asking those people to think, to change hats. So in one kind of instance, you're thinking, well, keep your hat on, keep your communications hat on, come into a SEAT course and think as a communications student. But at the same time, you will have to do those same assignments, and so you will have to switch hats, you know, and think in this different way. So I think it's positive for everybody involved to have this interdisciplinarity, this sharing of ideas, but then also learning how to think in these different ways as well.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it. And I have such fond memories of taking your course too. And it was really valuable. I needed a very specific skill, which you were teaching at that time, Introduction to Max MSP. And I imagine what I brought in as a different perspective into that is that I wanted to learn how to create these interactive Sonic modules, but I wanted to bring in like environmental sound, like not really tones and MIDI, but environmental sounds, because my training was from acoustic ecology and field recording and really working with real world sounds. But I can see a certain, I think it is fluid, but I can see a certain skill sets coming from contemporary arts that are kind of more compositional, and even where you use technology, it's still kind of more compositional and more of a sense of aesthetics and just pure creation. And in communications, we have shifted, I would say, and we're trying to differentiate ourselves into more documentary work and to some degree soundscape composition, but with a really what Barry is now calling context-based composition, where there's a real social issue on the table that you're composing about, which is a little bit different from just sort of abstract experimentation.
Yeah, so you know, at SEAT we sort of interdisciplinary program that makes design meets media art meets human-computer interaction and interface between human-centered vision of interfacing with machine, really, which is becoming, for good or for worse, increasingly relevant every day. And we have a very small footprint regarding sound there. And I myself teach one of the courses that is in the certificate as an elective, the sound design class, in which students learn the basics of sound, how it works, and how to put together making soundscape into a Reaper, a digital audio workstation. And then they start learning a bit about interactive sound design with the learning of Max. And so my students every year, there's about 120 of them, and they whoever instruct the course, whether it's me or someone else, and a lot of them would like to know more about sound. You know, that for the first time, I get them to buy, it's a class that is online actually, I get them to buy monitoring headphones. I play them for 25 minutes of the course, you know, some recordings as we move along from, you know, basic concrete recordings to music concrete and to soundscape composition. And we build our knowledge of sound. For a lot of them, they've been hearing sound all their life, but they never really listened to it. And certainly not in the same exact condition of all wearing and monitoring headphones. And so a lot of them, they fall into it and then they want more. And then I see that very concretely, then, you know, we don't have more. And so I can totally see how the certificate for my students at SEAT totally will serve a purpose of, for those who want more, to give, you know, an horizontal pass to go somewhere else. And I think it's brilliant that they're going to get to go take some classes at the School for Contemporary Art, downtown, different campus than where we are in Surrey. Different crowd, different vibe, and then go on the mountain, you know, take some class with communication, potentially as well, because it's part of the certificate. And so those little trips and those little changes, while they can be, you know, challenges when looking at scheduling, they really, I think, will provide for a great experience for our students.
I think also because SEAT is a design school, and that there's their foci is a little bit different in the sense that contemporary arts, the students are tending to think of themselves as artists, and they are serving their own aesthetic purpose, own aesthetic goal, and so they're just making decisions on what they think is the best, you know, way of going forward. And I think within a design school, it's often you're working in groups. And you're fulfilling a role within that group, and how you can serve maybe somebody else's larger creative goal. So like sound design, it's not necessarily just making some interesting sounds that you find interesting, but how can it serve, you know, a film or a media or in that regard. So it's and working with others, that often creative artists will work in a sort of a vacuum, working by themselves, just making these decisions on their own. But within, you know, a group context, in a design context like SEAT, you know, they're working in a, they may come up with a great sound, but then everyone else says, yeah, it doesn't quite work, you know, and even though you can argue, oh yeah, I made this great sound, but, you know, it's not working in the, to serve the greater purpose of what you're working on. So again, that's a much different way of thinking about your role and how sound can work in this larger context.
Yeah, that's a nice way to differentiate it. And it's helping me to think also about kind of how we complete the picture, because in communication, we're, you know, we're very focused around critical media analysis and critical studies. And so we would have conversations, we would be making film sound or documentary sound, but we would be having conversations about, how are conventional decisions in media maybe racialized or gendered in particularly problematic ways. So then we would be talking about, you know, how to subvert those conventions or how to be more mindful and how to pay attention to, you know, not just sort of picking a deep, trustworthy male voice as an announcer, because that is the convention, but, you know, questioning the historicity of that. And
yeah, even that long tradition that comes out of sound studies, like the sound walk, you know, which is just sound in context. And I think that's become something most of our classes in contemporary arts also include now, because it's such a rich way of thinking about sound. But it's very different than that traditional model of working with sound and just appropriating it for one's use. You know, that
exactly, you know, sound is a source. Yeah. That you extract and then use for whatever, either creative or functional purpose, versus sound within a social and cultural context.
Yeah. Just listening, just the idea of that sound walk is just listening to sounds in their environment and thinking about them, reacting to them without trying to take them and change them in any way. Just how is sound functioning? And again, that's such a rich alternative way of thinking, of presenting to students, that don't just think in one way about sound, think about it in a multitude of other ways.
Oh, that's excellent. And it really is so unique to SFU, because as you said, the legacy of R. Murray Schafer, who kind of created and coined all of these terms and is one of the people that began this practice of the sound walk, and it has been carried forward by many subsequent students and teachers and graduates and sound artists in the city. Okay, I'll move on to the next question, which is should be easy to answer, I think, for our listeners. How would one enroll in the certificate, and how would they complete it?
The way the certificate is set up, that they all have to complete a single course, which is 149 sound, which is the contemporary arts course, and it's a huge course. It's like an enrollment of 400 every term, so a lot of students are taking that already. It's also a Q course, you know, so that's important for the students as well, to get that quantitative Q on their transcript. And then they take one course from their own schools, their own majors. And then they have an elective courses where one of those has to be outside their major, right? So that's the incentive there, that they do take some of their courses, but then they do have to take courses outside their major.
I'm curious if we feel like this program aligns with current industry trends or job market demands. And this is in a very practical, kind of pragmatic level. Are we competing with, say, BCIT or the Vancouver Film School? How do we identify this certificate as unique and giving students something that they can then take to the workplace? Because, I mean, that is partially the reality.
As somebody who's been in the ivory tower for almost 30 years, I'm maybe not the best person to talk about what industry wants. But I think that having a versatility is extremely strong. And so what we're offering here is the breadth. you know, that if a student takes certain courses in sound within their school, you know, they can go to the depths right there. They can take all these courses and they can become, you know, a sound designer and have a lot of training. But what the certificate is saying is that I have some breadth as well. But I understand sound, not just in my area, but I've taken these courses outside. So I have a greater understanding. And to my mind, I think that's what industry would want. Right? You're going to get quite a few professionals, like you mentioned, BCIT. They're going to have a very, very specific and focused training. And for some jobs, I imagine that's what you need. But I think having somebody who has that training, but as well as a broader understanding of sound, I think that's going to make them very valuable in the workforce.
Yeah, I really agree with you. And what I find is BCIT does indeed have a journalism broadcasting kind of audio program, but I do imagine that it's very limited. Vancouver Film School has a prominent program for game sound design, and there's a lot of, as I understand, post-production game sound design studios in Vancouver. But what I am hearing wherever I've had touch points with these professionals is that they themselves realize that they're lacking breadth, and they are looking around for additional training. They're looking to see, what can I take that will give me this broader perspective? And they find, especially the social, the cultural perspective is very interesting. But yeah, there's a versatility of tools also that we do teach, a versatility of skills across our schools. Well, my final question is, how do we make the certificate a success? One thing, of course, that comes to mind, going back to my very first comment that this is a long time coming, is it feels like we could use more conversations across, you know, the faculty who teach in these areas, across the schools, to coordinate a little bit more what knowledge, skills, at which levels, what do we offer, how do these knowledge and skills complement each other?
Clearly, getting as many students enrolled in it would be a success in my eyes. And I think one of the things that we did do is we had an initial proposal that we circulated among students, and we got feedback on it. And at that point, it was, I think, 24 units, so it asked for a few more courses. And there was a great deal of excitement in the concept of a certificate, but they didn't want to take that many courses. You know, so we dropped the requirements to 18. So we responded to what the students were looking for, I think. So just making it a bit more flexible, allowing them to take those courses within their current structure. I think my feeling about what you're saying at the end there, how do you make it, keep it current, is that I'm always so impressed with, you know, the way people consider their courses in communications and in CIT and publishing, that we don't sit back. It's the things that we're teaching, they're changing all the time. And I think everybody, all the faculty, is so cognizant of this, and they're making tremendous efforts to stay current. I think all the courses that we're individually updating always to keep them current and exciting, and that all of the courses that are in the certificate right now, they will continue to be upgraded and to be excited. And I imagine if any new courses are going to be created, that they can be included as well. So,
and maybe I would add to this, to answer my own questions. I've had some good success in my, for lack of a better word, acoustic ecology course. I've had some success in creating showcase opportunities for students. I think that is really important for success. That does require support, administrative support and all that, and you know, some funding would be ideal, which is hard to come by. But I do think that opportunities for concerts, symposia, showcases of some kind, sharing and presenting their work would be so great to have.
Yeah. And I think, FCAT does have the undergraduate research conference, and that's always been difficult to get the students to get them together in one place. And I think one of the discussions that we're having now is to to have that sense of sharing occur more as showcases. That something happens
around a theme.
Yeah, and something that may happen in different locations over a week, so that something will happen in Burnaby with communications, and then people can travel there. Something will happen in Surrey at SEAT along that theme, and then we can all travel there. So rather than it's always difficult for students to travel, you know, unless it's already in their plans. But being able that kind of sharing in their own locations.
Thank you so much to our guests, Arnie Eigenfeld and Philippe Pasquier, for taking the time to discuss FCAT's new Certificate in Sound. To complete the certificate, students must fulfill 18 units, including 4 core courses and 2 elective courses. To include the Certificate in Sound in your academic planning, reach out to your academic advisor. We'll also have a link to the certificate in our show notes. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe and follow. Speakable is also broadcast live on CJSF, SFU's campus radio at 90.1 FM. If you are a student interested in getting involved, drop us an email.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
Looking for a community who will support you on your academic journey? The Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all 3 SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.